Thank you from the bottom of my heart that you brought us into Father's presence today. Thank you. Awesome. While the Lord is here, and I pray by the power of his Holy Spirit, he will enable me to speak what he wants me to share with you in the correct manner. Shall we just pray? Father, in Jesus' name, just help me as I share your word. Lord, I want to get it right for you. I don't want any of me to come into this, but I want it to be you by the power of your Holy Spirit. And may it fall on ears that receive by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said amen and amen. Well, you probably saw in the mail out this week an unusual title to put with that scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 11. And I'm just going to turn there. And I really, it was amazing how quickly the Lord gave me this, and I wrote things down. And I really believe this is a word for today, especially the way the Lord's moved in power in the worship. You could hear a pin drop. You could hear a pin drop. And we're talking about enthusiasm and encouragement. And in my Bible, at the top of 1 Thessalonians 5, it says the day of the Lord. But you know, when the Bible was written, there were no chapters and verses. This was a letter to the Thessalonians. So when we read now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, we need to look up a little bit into chapter 4. And in chapter 4, verses 15 to 17, it's really saying, and scholars believe this, this is talking about the rapture of the church. I'll just read it to you. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And this is the verse I want you to really pick up on while I've just nipped back into chapter 4. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So these are the words we're now going to read that will encourage one another. Chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light, children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, saying it again, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, Matthew 24:36 tells us, only the Father knows the day and the time when Jesus will come again. When Jesus raptures the earth, born again, spirit-filled believers will be taken out of the earth. And it will then be the end of the church age as we know it. So where are we on that time scale now? I'd love to tell you I know, but I don't, because we've just said only the Father knows. But Jesus tells us that the birth pains of end times will come more regularly and with greater intensity. We just read about that in that scripture as well, didn't we? So it would seem that one event is going to follow after another quite rapidly, just as when a lady gives birth to a baby. So let's pay attention to the signs of the times. You and I have only got the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to help us and understand what is happening. So you and I need to listen to him with our physical ears and listen to him with our spiritual ears. He will protect us, lead us, and guide us. So what are the signs? This is just a little preamble to what I want to share with us. We're told in the Bible there'll be an emergence of worldwide deception and deception in the church. There will be wars and rumors of wars, commotions, terrorism on a wide scale. There'll be warring political factions. There'll be clashes of culture, ethnic conflicts, widespread famines, economical instability, and pestilences. And it says plural. What are pestilences? Unknown diseases and new diseases and resurrected old diseases. But you and I, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, have no cause for alarm or fear. Because you and I are on the victory side. Jesus Christ has overcome the devil and sin. He is our Lord and Savior. He is on the throne and no one will ever put him off. And God has got a plan and God wants you and I to be in his plan. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been with us this morning by the power of his Spirit, and I believe he's still with us even as I'm speaking to you now. So you and I need to ask of him, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? What do I do to be ready? Okay? So we cannot be ignorant of what's happening. We've had a pandemic. We're coming to the end of it. But I believe there's a lot of people still getting it, as we know, younger people. And we would say to ourselves, but now the world is going to have to live with it. Yes? But then it says there'll be more pandemics, more diseases, more things happening, more earthquakes, more turbulence in the world. And look how I've coped with this pandemic, how you've coped with it. It's not been easy, but we've got here. We've got here. Have there been people who said, I can't cope, I don't want to go to church, I'm afraid? Of course there are. But then they're afraid to go to the shop. They're afraid to go out the front door as well. Because that's just where the enemy wants us. But we're on the victory side. We're children of the living God. But you and I should be looking up and obeying what the Lord tells us to do in these difficult times. You and I should be impacting people for Christ. And I'm not making any of us feel guilty, myself included. But we should be impacting people for Christ. You should be impacting people in the shops. People at the school gate, people in business, people at the petrol pumps, people anywhere and everywhere. And as Jay Johnson says, non-Christians are everywhere. You don't have to look very far for them. They are everywhere. You and I need to be impacting the lost. God designed us. God created us. We were not an accident. I always thought I was an accident. I was told I was an accident. Terry thought he was an accident. He was told he was an accident. Well, two accidents got together and we suddenly realized we weren't accidents. God says we were created and formed in our mother's womb. Psalm 139, God saw us. He put us together and he saw all of you. You're not an accident. God's got a plan for your life and he wants you to walk in it. Will you walk in it? So why did I call this enthusiasm and encouragement? When we read about the encouragement that Paul was giving the Thessalonians. But I looked up the dictionary and what does enthusiasm mean? Well, it means intense and eager enjoyment. Well, the world would call that happiness, wouldn't they? If you watch the football, and you probably will tonight as well, hope England wins, yes? But if you watched it, the enthusiasm, and they say we're radical in church if we raise our hands or shout hallelujah, they go crazy, absolutely crazy, intense enjoyment. But that is happening. Happenings give the joy which evaporates. For a Christian, you've got joy in the middle of it. Enjoyment. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Fruit of the Spirit. And remember, Christian, it's not pick and mix. It is the fruit We have the whole fruit, like an orange, the segments. It isn't I'll have a little bit of self-control today and tomorrow I'll lose it. We need to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. So God designed us. We're not an accident. He's delivered us from sin and death by the Lord Jesus Christ dying on that cross at Calvary. And he didn't stay dead. He rose again. Hallelujah. And he wants you and I dependent on him. Dependent on his word. Dependent on his Holy Spirit. He wants us determined to demonstrate to the world that we have a destiny. And I just want to throw out a challenge here. Am I different enough in the world to make a difference? Not weird different, but different enough that people say, she's got something I want. Are you different enough for people to say, he's got something I want. He's got something I want. She's got something I want. What is it about these people? They're not beaten up by the pandemic. Amen? That is the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within all of us. You and I can have heaven on earth as we walk this earth. Will we have problems? Yes. Have you had a pig of a week? I have. But I tell you what, I'm here and I'm alive and I'm fit and well, and you're here and you're alive and you're fit and well. And I know, praise God, he says today is today with a capital T. He'll look after our tomorrows and we don't have to bother about the past because he has dealt with that. We are moving forward. Church, we're trucking for Jesus. Amen. As the body of Christ, we are the church. Do you know, Terry and I had one of the greatest compliments ever. I think it was on our 30th wedding anniversary. We were in India, and we celebrated that particular night in a restaurant in this hotel in Goa. And we just sat down there having dinner, all on our own, and there was an Indian guitarist just playing gentle background music, and suddenly he stopped. It was obviously his tea break, coffee break, whatever they had. And he got up and he walked over the table and he said, ever so polite. Your people, John and Nina, are so polite. I've got to say to you, thank you. You're a very gracious nation. Bless you. But this guy was so polite and he said, excuse me, I know you're eating and I know I'm not supposed to do this, but may I ask you a question? I said, of course, sit down. He said, I'm not allowed to sit down. I'll stay standing. He said, are you born again Christians? And we said, yes. How do you know? He said, because I know born again Christians, and they say they all got shiny faces, and you got shiny faces. So then he started to ask questions. But what I want to say to you, we didn't lead him to Christ. He went away because he couldn't stay long at the table. But his friend had prayed, Lord, may somebody come across his path who's a Christian to show him we're saying what's the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. And I know this guy said he was going back to his friend and say we'd answered one or two of his questions. So you see, you may not be the person who wins the person to Christ. You may be the person who sows yet another seed. Does that encourage you? It should do. It should do. So when you think, oh, I blew it, Lord. I should have spoke to that person. Don't beat yourself up. Say, Lord, I'll do it another time. Use somebody else to speak to them today, please. And that gets us off the hook of feeling so guilty. But sometimes we have to speak up for Christ. God wants you and I on fire for Jesus Christ. Are you on fire for Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because you need to. I believe everybody in this room does. But I would say we need to be allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through us, because that's how the fire flames. Yeah? And you may be saying, I'm a bit on low burn. Okay. So you're a bit on low burn. We'll deal with that in a minute. But you know, the way you and I communicate with people says a lot. We've got to love the unlovable. You've heard me say before that we used to go into the city prisons and mental institutions in Juarez, Mexico, on the rubbish dumps. And I have actually had to hug and be kind and compassionate to transvestites who look so beautiful with their beautiful hairdos, makeup, and nails and clothes. And yet they're searching for Jesus. And you've got to put your arms around them and love them in the prison cell because they're crying and all their mascara is running down their face. And I found that hard. You've heard Terry found, he had found it hard when God told him to hug somebody with pus all over their face. They're hard things, but you've got to love the unlovable. Jesus is in you. Jesus is in me. And we are his hands. We are his feet. And if we don't love the unlovable, who will? The Good Samaritan loved the unlovable. Will you love the unlovable? Not just the lovable, not just the people you know, but go out of your way. Even the ones you think, oh, they get on my nerves. Are they going off again on one? Oh, is that like a po' face over there? We got to love the unlovable. That is it. And if we do these things, God will bless us. God says, you do this, I'll do that. We're the head and not the tail, church. We're the head and not the tail. We're the blessed, we're not the cursed. If we work in the obedience to the word of God and what God tells us to do, we are the blessed. Whether we're going through a tough time or not. Don't mean to say you won't get tough times. It's how we get through them. I want to say one thing to you. We've been encouraged by phone calls this week, and they've come at the right time of the discouragement we perhaps had previously. People have phoned as a result of the letter that the church was received from the leadership team saying the way forward. As a church, we've been through a very, very difficult time with pandemic and pastor going, things like that. And it's been very, very difficult. And as a result of that letter, we've had people phone up to say they are burden to give financially to the church to help us. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to say, would that go across your hearts of all of you in here? We need your help. Trustees are going to the bank. Terry's been to the bank. They won't even have anything to do with Terry at the moment. But we're not finding it easy to get a 6-month interest only with a bit of capital time. And that's what we want, to get over this hump. But I'll tell you what, we're in faith to get over it with or without it. What about you? Are you in faith to get over it with or without it? God's got a plan, and all the prophetic words that have been over this church and this place since word go will come to pass. Maybe not my lifetime, but they'll come to pass. And I'm believing it, and I'm going for it. And I'm in faith that we will see this hiccup we're going through at the moment on finance, we will see it eradicated supernaturally. Will you stand with me on this? Stand with the leadership, because we really are in faith to see it dealt with. So I want to encourage you there. Thank you, those that are doing it. Thank you. We've been walking in faith on a variety of things, really. But I want to say this to you. When the Christian Life Center was purchased in 2004, there were approximately 60 people in the church. And we were at Brackenbury Sports Center. And I remember, because we were then the lead pastors, the founding pastors, we've only stepped up to help through this patch. Because really, we should be retired. Amen? Yeah? But We want to do it. We love doing the Lord's work, but we believe we should have younger people as well. So we went to the church then in Brackenbury Sports Centre, 60 people, and there was a love offering. And it was supernatural, because the Lord enabled us to put down an incredible deposit at that time for the church so that we could buy this building. Yeah. And we want to see this building stuffed to the gunnels again, and we will. By faith, I see it. By faith, I see people on these chairs. Yes, we're all set for COVID, but I see COVID gone and chairs back to normal eventually. Not right away, because we need to be sensible, but we see it filled to capacity. Will you stand with us? Will you be praying for young families to come in with kids? We need more kids for younger church. We need, I'm told off when I say the word kids, we need more children for younger church. We need more young people. We need older people. We need all the different cultures. We need the different nationalities in here. We are a church of many nations. We always have been and always will be. And I just praise God, stand in faith, will you? Please stand in faith. Our God is faithful. So, what are you going to do if you're on low burn? Well, it's time to be intentional. Today, I'll just give you 2 seconds to think. Am I on low burn, on fire for God? Am I on medium burn, or am I on full flame? Just think about it. What would you say you are? Okay, you don't have to tell anybody, don't worry, God knows. So if we're on low burn, what are we going to do about it? How do we catch that fire alight and ignite it again? Well, this morning we know the Holy Spirit, he's with us and he's wanting to ignite everybody. And I believe he's really planned this morning from start to finish. Jeremiah 33:3 says, and that's God saying, call unto me. Call unto me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things. So why is he saying call unto me? Prayer. Prayer. Prayer is fuel. Oh no, have we got to pray? Yes. We've got to pray. Thank you, Sally, for setting those Tuesday prayer meetings up. I know they were set up in the first instance for finances and the way forward. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit's moving in them. Can I commend you to get to one? Because I tell you, they build you up. They build you up. And we build one another up. We encourage one another with enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. So prayer. The trouble is, you and I tend to rush in and out of our quiet times in the morning. The word is fuel. Oh no, she's not going to go on about the Bible reading it every day, is she? Yes. Sorry. Please read the word, even a few verses. Take it with you into your day. Let it speak to you. Chew over it in your heart. Come on, if you watch a program on TV and you love it, you've got it in your heart. You think, oh, wasn't that great? Oh, I love that scenery. Wasn't it? Well, do this with the word. Let the Holy Spirit work it in you to change you, to chip your rough edges off, chip my rough edges off. The devil trembles when you and I pray. The devil trembles when you pray. Do you hear that? He's not bothered when we talk. He's bothered when we pray. And when we pray the word of God, he's even more bothered because there's power in the word. Do you believe it? Yes, one hand. One hand? You should all be believing it. Well, the book of Acts tells us a lot. The book of Acts tells us information, but the book of Acts also teaches us transformation. So really, when you listen to a talk, you should have transformation in our hearts. We should be transformed by the renewing of our minds when we read the word and we pray and when we gather together and we enthuse and encourage one another as we see the day of the Lord approaching. So the early church had this total dependency on the word and prayer. So I just want to, just for a few quick seconds, look in Acts. And I just want us to look in Acts, I think it's 4. Just let me have a quick look here. You can see it's the Lord leading me because I'm totally, yeah. Yes, there's a verse here, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind in which we must be saved, Jesus. But then when you go to verse 31, this was a prayer again, they were praying. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And then you'll read in other places where their buildings shook. I'd like this to shake with our prayers today. What about you? I just want us to also flip over, because I believe the Lord said to me, as I was thinking about this talk in the week, go to the ant. A-N-T, you're right, an ant. And it's Proverbs, and it's Proverbs 6. And you'll think, where is she going with that? Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer, gathers its food in harvest. Well, this is what the Lord told me about ants, so you might as well hear it. The ant is one of the smallest creatures on earth. It's industrious. It's clean. It teaches the young. It waits for the young to catch up before it moves on. The young with the old then learn how to work together. They are persistent. Are you starting to get what God was saying to me to tell us? They stick at a job, whether it's nest building or gathering food. Do we stick at jobs? They know their job and work tirelessly until it is completed. Christian, our job is to encourage and enthuse, to reach the lost, to love one another, to build the kingdom before the day of the Lord. Ants work in unity. They work in harmony with one another. And ants multiply. They spread. They're encouragers to each other. They're helpful to each other. And this last thing made me chuckle, and it might you. They're blooming hard to get rid of. I don't know about you this year, but I bought a lot of sprays for ants and used a lot of boiling water. And you still can't get rid of them. Christian, that's what we should be like. How we should be as Christian family. We need the heart of Christ for the lost. The feeble, the weak, the lame, the sick, the young, the old. We just need the heart of Christ for them. You're his hands, you're his feet out there. Church is not going to be the same. Church is going to be different. We've had a pandemic, but God is moving us forward. God is breaking camp, and we are moving. I don't mean moving from the building. I mean we are moving in the way God wants us to move. Things may not be the same. They may be. I don't know, but God's doing things. And we found that out this morning, haven't we, in our time so far. So where do we go now? I think that we ought to do this. I think that we all ought to pray. And I haven't told Sally this, and I haven't told Julie this, because I didn't know this. But I believe that the Lord is saying to us, we need to all stand up and pray. And we need to pray out loud. And they'll probably say, oh no, not me, I don't pray out loud. Well, if everybody's praying out loud around you, you can pray out loud. Don't listen to other people. You just pray. You just tell Father how wonderful it's been this morning, how you love him, how you want to grow, how you want the flame lit inside of you. You just tell him that sort of thing. How you want these finances just out the way so we're not bothered with it all, that we can get on again in the way we want to get on. Will you do it? Will it embarrass you? Will you do it? Come on then, stand. Sally, come up to the microphone so you can encourage. And Julie, if you feel it's right for music, you just go for it. But, you know, otherwise, let's just pray. If you want to pray in tongues, pray in tongues. If you want to sing in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit. Whatever. But I want us to really meet with the Lord in prayer for a few short moments. Is that all right with everybody? Yes. Don't run away and say, ah, she made me pray. Julian, come. Do you want to share something? That's all right. Yeah, good. I told you it's not normal. Holy Spirit's moving this morning, and I'm just so thankful.
I didn't know anything about this morning's service, what the theme was, or anything. We were driving here this morning down the A14, and Jane and I were praying. And God said to me, I'm the one who's fired up. You're the ones who need to be fired up.
Praise the Lord, Julian. Thank you for that.
God is speaking out loud.
Well done. Well done. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. So we've heard that from God himself, when he spoke to Julian and Jane coming today. He's on fire. We need to be fired up. Come on, let's get fired up for Jesus today.
Amen.
Father, we come to you now, and we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, move across this auditorium. Lord, we're stepping out in faith. We're doing things that we haven't done before, but we say, move, touch each one of us. May we all start to open our mouths and pray to you out loud. Our Creator, our God, our Lord, our Savior, our Healer, our Defender, our Redeemer, our El Shaddai. Come on, I don't hear much noise. Glory. Kilo.